Welcome to Pets Tell the Truth. I'm Dr. Agnes Thomas, psychologist and animal telepathic communicator. I'll be your host as we listen to what our animal friends have to teach us about the way they view the world, their missions, and their incredible spiritual insights. Today, I have a guest who is going to talk about horses and how they can touch our lives. Her name is Melissa Pierce. We've only known each other for a few months, but we have become very good friends. During the first half hour of the program, Melissa will tell us about her experiences with horses. The second part of the program is reserved for listeners who may want to call in questions about the topic of today's show, or perhaps have questions about their own horses or pets. Please reserve your calls until the presentation part is finished. The toll-free number to call is 1-888-268-4313. That's 1-888-268-4313. Today's show is brought to you by Garnett Publishing in Cleveland, Ohio. Garnett is calling for finished manuscripts, so if you have a manuscript that you would like to share and see published, contact them at www.garnettpublishing.com. That's Garnett with two T's. Garnettpublishing.com, or you can phone them directly at area code 216-458-6100. Our guest is Melissa Pierce. Melissa is a psychotherapist who graduated from Arizona State University. She has a bachelor's in social work and a master's in social work. She was certified by the Gestalt Institute of Cleveland in their clinical program. She is certified as a clinical psychotherapist through the Southwest Association for Gestalt and Expressive Studies. Melissa has much experience with horses. She has owned, bred, raised, and shown world champion paint horses. She has written articles published in the Horse Connection magazine and in Colorado Lifestyles magazine. She is the author of an inspiration cards called Touched by a Horse. She is the founder of the Touched by a Horse program, and she's going to tell us a little bit about some of the programs. You can visit her on her website at www.touchedbyahorse.com. Melissa, welcome.
Hi, Agnes.
How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing fabulously. How about yourself?
I'm just fine.
Good.
Melissa, can you tell us, I know you've had horses all your life, but can you tell us how it came about that you became aware you could communicate with a horse?
You know, I think, Agnes, as a child, I had my first horses when I was like 11 and 12 years old. And I thought what I was receiving as communication was just the fantasy of having this beautiful creature in my life. And later, as time came along, I knew that I had a clairescient experience. For instance, we might be riding down the trail, and I absolutely knew that the horse was concerned about something ahead, or I knew that it was time to turn around, and I was getting that somehow from the horse. But it was years later before I put two and two together and realized they were actually sending me such clear messages. So I was receiving and responding to them, but it took me a while before I really understood I had some kind of special connection with them.
But during your connection and your communication with the horse, can you tell us what the actual experience is like? Is it something you feel? Is it something you hear? Is it something that becomes visual in your mind or, say, in your third eye? How does it actually work for you?
It sometimes becomes very clear in my third eye. So those are when they're especially something the horse has a deep concern about. Then it will become very clear in my third eye, and I can actually have a knowingness of what the horse's concern is. Horses communicate very clearly in pictures. It's how their memory banks actually work by memories of a certain picture. And then most of the time, I receive it in what I call clairescient, which means I have a knowingness. It's not auditory. It's not words. It's just an absolute truth, an absolute knowingness that this is what's going on. So I've been able to do some healing with them that way. And also, they're very empathic. So they receive our concerns and our vibrations and our worry as well. And I've got a couple of experiences to drive home with that as well.
Are horses sensitive creatures?
They're very sensitive. They're physically sensitive. If you think about a horse that has a, say, a fly that lands on their back, you'll see the muscles quiver. Does that from that little tiny fly landing? So physically, I think they have very heightened senses. Even though we can see people sometimes unknowingly treating them very roughly, they really don't need the rough treatment. They're very sensitive. They're very astute. And I see their empathic sensitivity or their feeling of vibrations. For instance, my daughter was once in the hospital, and she was near death. She was having a very difficult time. And I left her father at the hospital with her, and I went to the barn for a while. I hadn't seen the horses for, oh, 2 or 3 weeks. And he thought it would be good therapy for me. I call them my pony Prozac. So he said, well, before you go crackers, you better go spend some time with your horses. So I went out to just get hugs and kisses and just be with them a little bit and just kind of soothe my soul, because at that time it looked like we were losing my daughter. And I took my favorite mare out, and from the moment I went into her stall, she threw her body kind of against the back wall of the stall, and then I calmed her and I got a halter on her, and she was jumpy, just constantly spooking from everything. And this is a mare that didn't have issues around being fearful at all. And what I know she showed me was that she just was feeling my generalized fear, and my fear was going out so clearly to her. She wasn't sure what I was so afraid of, but she could feel my absolute core hole in my soul fear, and therefore she was sharing in that experience of that fear. And I've never forgotten that lesson, because I'm very careful if I go toward my horses now. I'm very careful to not put them through that, because they really experience our deepest fears. And the same with other emotions as well. If I'm clearly joyful, they get very playful. So they do pick up all of our senses, and we vibrate and show as a mirror all of theirs.
I have very little experience with horses because of my back, but I have communicated with them. And since I was a little reluctant, the horse would always back off when I attempted to communicate with it, until I began saying, you'll have to forgive me. I'm a little inexperienced with horses, so if I feel apprehensive, it's just that I'm awkward talking to horses.
Right.
And then they understand, and then they'll come back and talk to me.
Exactly.
Have you heard the term horse whisperers?
Yes, I have, and of course it was popularized in a movie not so long ago, and so a lot of people have heard the term horse whisperer. And when I hear it, I think mostly of those people who communicate to horses through their knowingness, through being calm with them and centering their energy and sending them the best of communication forward, rather than trying to impress upon them with force. So when someone says they are a horse whisperer, it's usually because they understand that horses are very good at picking up what we're trying to teach them or express to them or say to them or share with them, and we really don't need to push it in with force, hence the word whisperer. It doesn't really mean whispering out loud. It really means have a much more gentle form of communication toward the horse.
When I saw the movie with Robert Redford in it,
mm-hmm.
it wasn't clear to me as a telepath how he was communicating with the horse that was injured.
Mm-hmm.
Is it so, according to you, it's more of a knowing?
Well, I know the way I receive it and send it, it is. And I would say in that movie that's what was expressed as well. It's a connection. It's a way of, if I calm myself around a horse intentionally, like I stand before them and I just make sure I am very calm and very released, the horse starts to go to sleep. I mean, they pick that up so sensitively. So when they're wounded and hurt, they don't feel the pain in the same way that we do. They're so blessed to be in the moment. They don't spend time in anxiety. They don't spend time in future worry. They spend time in physical pain if they're in pain. So they don't build it out. You know, we break our leg or we have a cut or a tear on our body, and we think, oh, my gosh, the stitches are going to hurt, or I'm going to bleed too much and I could die because I have 4 quarts of blood, or I'm going to die because of it. You know, we can really heighten our anxiety. The horse is very much in the moment. He just knows that hurts. That really hurts, and this is it. He's not foretelling future disaster to himself. So when they're physically hurt, I think what they mostly need to feel is the human's intention of healing and the human's intention of really protecting and nurturing the horse. I've done some powerful physical healing with horses over that.
Oh, can you give us an example?
Well, two things I'll share quickly. One is a mare, how I learned they see things in pictures. I actually work with autistic children,
uh-huh.
human children, and I learned a lot about how the human brain captures things in pictures. And many autistic children, or sometimes they're referred to as indigo children, receive dramatic pictures, like little movies going through their head. And if we can communicate back and understand their freeze-framing things in this picture format, we can relate to them much easier. The horses are much the same way. I had a beautiful young mare who had given me, four or five babies over the years. And she had been a just really blessed brood mare. She had had an injury in her leg early on in her life, so she couldn't be ridden, and she loved being a mom. So one year, about 6 weeks before delivery, she went into experiencing, looked like she was just having a generalized tummy ache, like a belly ache or a colic. And instead, the baby, unfortunately, had twisted the umbilical cord twice and had died within her. She didn't know that, of course. So the vet came, and I just saw her in all this distress, and we didn't know what was going on, but we realized she was going into labor, and we were going to deliver this premature foal. So we delivered the foal. The vet's at her head, and I'm at her tail assisting her all that I could. The beautiful baby lays on the ground, and I said a blessing over the baby, and she turned around and smelled the baby, nudged it, kind of tried to get it to wake up and get up, trying to put it together in her brain, and then she was snapping pictures. I mean, that's the way their brain works, and the picture, unfortunately, she got was me with this baby. So in her mind, she put together me with the death or the loss of her foal. And so the following 2 years later, we rested her 1 year, and 2 years later when she had a baby, the next two babies she had, she wouldn't let me near them when she was foaling. And she really didn't like me around them when they were little. It broke my heart. And I ended up giving her to a friend of mine, a fellow rancher of mine. She's gone on to have two more for him and is happy as can be. So they really freeze frame these pictures. Like people will get in a wreck with a horse somehow, and the horse pictures them and that trailer in that situation. Somebody else has them, puts them in a trailer, and they're okay. So they link things together pictorially quite strongly. So that's a sad calling, but it ended up okay. Other times it's a very much a positive. Maybe we're at a horse show and the horse has a really good experience, tons of praise and activity, and the horse likes it and is excited and gets a lot more attention at that moment, and so they drink it up. And then going to the horse show is playtime. They've got that picture in their mind, that's associated with goodness and all that is in their life.
Can you tell me what motivates a horse? I've talked to champion horses that are going to be traded, and when somebody comes to look at them, they won't perform.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that they're very sensitive to vibrations.
Oh, yes. You know, there's times I've had horses that I've bred and sold and raised a lot of horses. And I've had horses that would even help me go through the sale. They'd really do well for me to help me go through the sale. But if they didn't have a good feeling when the person came to pick them up, they wouldn't get in the trailer. After being well trailered for a long time, they didn't want to leave. And I've had a lot of horses either boarded with me at my facility or my own horses that liked it there. They were very happy there, and so they didn't want to go. And they make it very clear when they don't want to go. And there have been times when I have cancel the sale because the horse is expressing it. So to me, because I know how emotional they are, if someone's purchasing a horse from me, they come and bond with the horse for about 2 to 3 weeks usually before the horse leaves with them, so they can make that transition over to the next farm. But I've had some that just, they don't want to leave me personally. They're bonded to me, and that's a loving thing. Or my one of my trainers, they get very attached to people, and they don't want to move on. So I agree. I've gotten that communication from some, too, where they don't feel safe, or they don't feel confident, or they just feel sadness, just general sadness that they're moving on. So I think they do that. Now, as far as I've had people ask me, well, do horses like to be ridden? Do they like to be shown? Do they like to pull a wagon? You know, do they like to be in Central Park pulling the tourists around? Most horses, I think, are very much motivated on love and inspiration, just like as humans. Your employees work 10 times harder for you if they respect you, they like you, there's a good working environment, they want to be there, then they're happy coming in to work. It's not much different than that. If they are disrespected, they disrespect you. It's really a two-way street, very much a relationship. If they honor that they're working for you, pulling that wagon in partnership with you through Central Park, and they are doing a good job and they're told they're doing a good job and they like it and they're physically fit and physically ready to do it. So it's a fair thing for the horse and a fair thing for the driver, both. The horse will do anything for you just as the driver would do anything for the horse. They're like a good marriage or a good partnership. And they much prefer that over standing in a stall and being bored. So my horses love working, and they really enjoy it. They're not happy when they're off work any length of time or period of time. They don't feel as physically fit. They want a job. You know, they like having a job, but it has to be a job they love. There's some sadness around horses for me that are in certain ones, not all of them, but certain ones that are maybe in rental stables where they don't bond with any certain rider. It's one rider after another after another. Some horses adapt to that very well. A lot of them don't. They carry a lot of sadness about not being the chosen, you know, of someone's heart. Lucky is the horse that belongs to a teenage girl. I'll tell you, those are the lucky ones on the planet.
The ones that belong to teenage girls?
Sure, because those girls have time to go out and braid them and brush them and talk to them. And, you know, it's so sweet. When we're children, we don't think it's a crazy notion to talk to an animal, and we don't think it's a crazy notion they talk to us. We're not as, I'm sure you understand this, Agnes, from your pet communication. There's no expectation that there's anything exceptional to it. You know, I talk to my horse talks
right.
to me. It's just life. And then we somehow enter some kind of form of adulthood when all of those things drop away for so many people. They've lost their ability to dream in their own soul, much less dream with an animal. And horses love to make that communication. For anyone listening, if they want to heighten their ability to receive information from their horse or impart information from their horse, there is a center of third eye in the horse's chakra right between their eyes. They are predatory animals. Their eyes go straight forward like ours do. Your prey animals, their eyes are on the side of their faces. That's true in all of nature. So we approach a horse, we are a predatory shape to them, and they are a prey animal. So I think we approach them with respect, and if you want to lovingly connect with a horse, you place the broad part of the palm of your hand gently on the broad part of their nose and slide it up between their eyes, not bang and pat, but just a slide on their face up to the space between their eyes, just a quiet connection. Many people are nervous around horses because they're big, so they pat them there. I wouldn't want to be patted on my face, but if someone placed their hand lovingly between my eyes, it's a very loving connection. And so they can simply slide their hand there and hold it, and they'll see the horse receive whatever they're sending from their heart. And if you open yourself up to it, you will receive the love back from that horse in a quick amount of time, like 2 or 3 seconds. You can feel that back and forth.
The heart connection.
Absolutely.
When you touch or work with other people's horses, do you also touch their heart, and mm-hmm. and can you even help falling in love with them?
I do always. I start there because their sense of scent and their ears, they're very sensitive with their sound. Horsemen know that a mare's ears are quite large and the stallion's ears are quite small. The mares actually do the listening for the herd in the wild. The stallion is not as dependent on sound. He has the large nostrils and the very large eyes. Their eyes are second only to a whale. I mean, they have very large eyes. So his is scent. So stallion to gelding, the males and the horses, they want your scent. They want to pick up all of your scent from your hands, from anything you'll allow them to with scent. And the mares, it's sound. They really know you're coming. So it's softer voices, not making a lot of banging noises, just being cognizant that their hearing is like if we turned ours up 10 degrees. So we want to be aware of that. And I approach them with that in my mind and in my heart and often in my words with honor. You know, hello, beautiful, how are you? And it's a sweetness between them. And when they allow me to, my palm goes to the third eye of the horse, right into that connection there so that they can take a little reading of me not meaning any harm. They love to be touched. They have great senses, love to be touched on their necks. And again, people do too much banging and patting on them. Some patting's a good thing. Most of it's unnecessary. They like the stroke and the softness all over their body. And then they'll give you lots of information. And if you aren't doubting yourself, you will hear it. They'll tell you. I had a mare who came home from training, and I had sent her to a friend of mine in Ohio, and I live in Colorado, and he's just a phenomenal kindness trainer. So he gets results for me in the show ring, but through love. And I really like him, so I send my horses all the way across country to spend time with him because they come back so great. And he sent this beautiful mare named Confetti back to me, and I got her back, and I couldn't wait to climb aboard her. So I put her in a round pen and put a saddle on her and let her just kind of run and play, and she kept bucking, really furiously bucking. And I thought, what is going on? So I called him, and I said, Steve, she's really pitching a fit, and I'm not going to climb on her because she's not happy. So do you think she could have tweaked her back and transport or something, or what do you think? And he said, I have no idea. I never saw her do what you're describing. So I took her in her stall, and I gave her a bath and just kind of quit for the day, and then I just hung out with her, placed my hand between her eyes and petted her and just hung out with her, and I said, Confetti, talk to me. What's going on? What is it? And she told me, I'm very, very, very allergic to wool. And I had put, she didn't say the word wool. She said, I'm very, very scratchy on my back. And I realized, oh, she's allergic to wool. So I'm very, very scratchy on my back. I had to translate out, ah, her back was just itching like crazy with this wool pad. So it was very convenient to figure that out. And after that, she was fine.
Hmm. Melissa, tell me, do you notice a difference between the way men and women relate or communicate to horses?
I do. They communicate differently with each other as well, and men are very direct, and oftentimes the horse is more of a transportation, like young boys. You give a 13-year-old boy a horse and a 13-year-old girl a horse. The boy, it's their first sense of freedom. So they want to explore and go and stretch limits and find boundaries and, you know, just ride all over and as fast as the horse will take them, and they don't express fear because young boys at 13 think they're immortal. So the horse picks that up, and the horse will be much faster and brighter and just kind of more playful out in that energy. Give the same horse to a 13-year-old girl. She will spend a tremendous amount of time talking, connecting, grooming, braiding manes and tails, beautifying, feeding treats, crying into the horse's neck, all that kind of connection. So it's like a partnership in a way, and they're both expressing partnership. Not one is better than another, but it's a different type of expression. And so I love to see young kids start with horses and watch how different it is. Same horse in the different situation will be very different with that child. And then again, as adults, I think, sometimes as females, we're doing more bonding with other people in the barn. It becomes a social strata. My male friends or people that have boarded the horses, it becomes a workout. It becomes, you know, let's go work out, and they're their partner that they work out with. And they go out and have a certain goal in mind and go through a workout together. So it's just, again, not better or worse, but clearly a difference. I see that a lot in my retreats and seminars as well.
Tell us about your retreats. I noticed that on your website, and I'm very interested. Can you tell us, like,
sure,
what happens at one of these retreats?
Sure, be glad to. At one that we actually call Touched by a Horse is a 4.5-day retreat in which people come that may have never been around horses, always wanted to be, all the way to people who are very efficient riders. We partner, we limit it to a group of 10. We partner the 10 up, and then they're partnered again with a horse. So two people and one horse. It's not always about the riding at all. It's about developing the communication from the horse to them. Many of these people are business people. They're managers of businesses or owners of businesses or working and just promoted to management, whatever it might be. And the horse spends the 4 days, along with me as a psychotherapist, helping them understand what's going on in their management style or in their lifestyle, in their parenting style. So things come up like control issues. The horse is great about teaching somebody about unclear communication or control issues or even things where they are saying one thing out of their mouth but another out of their vibration. The horses speak the truth, as you so wonderfully say on your show. The animals do tell the truth. So we let the horses reveal to the people through the 4.5 days a tremendous amount about their psychology, about maybe their barriers or blocks in the world. We've actually helped people break through all kinds of challenges, from weight loss to not being able to make a certain amount of money in the world to anything that's breaking their abundance. These horses help us work with people to do that. And we have a variety of exercises that they do with the horses and then debrief it, basically. And they get their own insights and develop their insights saying, oh, my gosh, I've learned so much. At the end of the retreats, they always have a vision, and they have developed this vision of where they will be in 3 to 4 years' time. So they leave the retreat having learned a lot about who they are as they come in, discovering how their power is interpreted by others and what their communication style is and their energy style, and they leave knowing where they're headed, really what their life purpose is, who they want to be when they grow up, so to speak, and where they're headed in the next 3 to 5 years. So we just won an award, in fact, this week, Agnes, with some 5280, which is a Denver magazine, voted us the top spiritual retreat in Colorado. So we just won that award.
Very
good. Thank you.
I think we may have a caller. Do we have a caller?
You're going to have to listen on now on the Mickey Mouse phone, then. That's the only way you'll be able to hear it. Yes, hi.
Hi.
Is this a psychic?
It is.
Well, neither of us are psychics. We're both psychologists. But, yes, do you have a question for Melissa?
You're a psychologist?
Yes, I'm a psychologist.
Okay, I was told you guys were psychics.
No, we're pet psychics.
You're what?
We're animal communicators.
Oh, animal communicators.
I think
that's not
going
to help
show.
Me with my problem. I'm sorry to waste your time, ladies.
It's all right,
it's okay.
All right, have a good evening.
You too, dear.
Bye.
Melissa, it says that you owned a horse called Go Robin Bar.
Uh-huh.
And this horse is a 3-time world champion stallion?
Yes. It's phenomenal.
Tell me about him.
Gobar was born to a fabulous family in the Midwest of the United States who recognized his presence. He just was born with a unique kind of presence and wanted to please humans and be somebody special. He's just something else. Now, I've had him for many years now. He's had two owners, that family and myself. And when he came to me, I literally just manifested him. I wanted so badly to have a stallion to start my lineage. And he had already won 2 world championships for that family purely through love. The horse, just anything you train him, he works hard to understand the lesson and then goes out and does his job. And you never have to do any big-time discipline on him at all, because he's seeking what is the game. He loves to figure out new things and gets bored if you don't challenge him with new exercises and new things to do. He really, really loves to be around humans and to do that. For horse owners that might be listening to the program, oftentimes they're told that stallions should be in a closed-off stall, away from other horses, away from people, and, oh, be careful, and stay back. And there's a lot of fear from humans expressed about stallions. Instead of fear, I would say it needs to be respect. They can move quickly. They do have a high testosterone level, so if they want to correct something or someone, they can. But really, the loneliest horse for human touch is often the stallion that's kept in a barn, because he's not running free, except in breeding season. He's not running free with other horses because he has this muscle strength. So we have a rule in our facility that for every time, anytime somebody stops to pet a horse, you know, they've got to stop and pet the stallion 3 times, because he needs 3 times as much contact and physical contact and talking to and love, and he's just phenomenal. He's a lot of fun. He's sired many, many champions for me over the years, and he's living his semi-retirement on my ranch now. He's about 23 years old, and he's going into his what we would call golden years, and he's just beautiful.
Very interesting. My experiences talking to horses have been primarily veterans, because I am a veterinary intuitive, and often a veterinarian will call me because they can't see inside the body, and sometimes the horse has a problem that they can't quite put their finger on. And when I communicate with them, they appear to me to be extremely intelligent. They're very dignified. They're very compassionate. And just like you were explaining, they really want to please. And when they become champions, they tell me that they don't do it for any kind of ego thing like a human would do.
Right.
It's done out of love for their person, who is their owner. But I always call them a person. I don't like that term, owner.
I agree.
And it's totally amazing what they can do. Interestingly, next week, I will not be here, but we're going to have a guest who has a horse. You may have heard of her. She's from Southern Ohio, and the horse is named Sweet Adeline. Do you know about her?
No, I don't think I do.
She's a horse that lived to be 50 years old.
Oh, I have heard of her. Yes.
And she did healing on. After a while, nobody could ride her because she was too old.
Sure.
But they would put autistic children on her
and
handicapped children, and she acted as a channel for physical and mental healing.
Awesome.
Very interesting. Well, they're going to be on next week.
Good.
And I'm hoping that people, horse lovers, will tune in again.
Absolutely.
Because I think that would be interesting. You mentioned that you did a little work with autism.
Mm-hmm.
And tell me about that.
Well, I have 3 different actual kind of products out, in a sense. One was a card deck that you mentioned at the top of the hour, in which I took 52 original works of art by my friend Jan Taylor, phenomenal equine artist, and I was able to channel through looking at the painting what that horse she had put on canvas would carry on its heart for the reader.
So it's a
beautiful deck that they can pull and read and get great inspiration and affirmation of who they are. And, oh, gosh, we covered topics like grace and gratitude. And the things that the horses wanted to talk about were all about hope and grace and gratitude and all positive, even sorrow. They brought through very positive thoughts about the contrast in life when sorrow is present. So they brought beautiful messages through me. For anyone to read in these cards. They're very pretty. And then I brought through two different CDs. One was for picturing your future and bringing your future in, and the other one is for balancing the energy systems in the body or the chakra systems. And horses are so sensitive to energy. And in the CD, you go through an imaginary or guided imagery trip with a horse, capturing each one of the body centers all the way to oneness with God. So it's for anyone trying to develop more of their intuitive ability or their third eye ability, all the way to their connection to spirit. So wanted to mention those as one. The Indigo children that I work with is a film called The Indigo Method. And I had the experience in the film, I'm one of the practitioners in the film, and I had the experience in the film of working with a darling little boy who was attention deficit disordered, and he was about 8 years old, and he came to my ranch, and they filmed me working with him, and he had a hard time just sitting still because his energy is very bright and sparkly and just out there all the time. So I asked him if he was frightened about working with the horse, and he said, well, not very, and I said, well, let's rate it on a 1 to 10 scale. So he told me, no, I'm not very frightened, but when I get close to that horse, he could see the horse a ways away, then I might get more frightened. So I said, well, we're just going to always ask you where you are, and you tell me you're a 7 or you're an 8. So I taught him the scale. We got up pretty close to the horse, and he was more excited than frightened, but with the anxiety, he was bouncing all around, the little boy. He couldn't quite hold still once we were working with the horse in the pen. And his fear level was raising a little, and the horse, being an empath, started to pick that up, and the horse started moving around quite a bit, too, because the little boy's moving around, so the horse is mirroring this back to him. So I asked him, I said, how could you bring the horse almost to sleeping? How can we quiet him down? Little boy grabbed it right away, and he said, you know, if I can calm me down, I can calm the horse down. So he learned to control this attention deficit disordered challenge that he was dealing with. He learned to control all the energy and the vibrations, bring it to the center, and the horse got very still and quiet so he could bond to the horse.
We have
the horse taught him in 10 minutes what people had been trying to teach him for 8 years.
His whole life. We have a call.
Hello.
Hello. You're
hello.
Here.
How are you guys this evening?
Great.
We're fine.
I don't have a horse, so I do want to say that I had a sister that loved horses, and that makes me think of her. So I'd like to say thank you for that.
Nice.
We loved her a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Are you taking any questions on any animals?
Yes.
Other than horses?
Mm-hmm.
Did you say yes?
Okay. Go ahead.
It's my my daughter has a cat.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Shadow. She's about 7, and they have a dog named Katie. Well, Shadow has been going to the bathroom in the house since Katie came, and she doesn't know if she wants to keep the cat, which I don't want her to get rid of the cat. And I was wondering if we could find out what was wrong with Shadow.
Shadow, cats are very different than dogs. They send out an energy grid. We talked about that last week on the show. You can check the archives. You should be able to get last week's show. They send out an energy grid within the house, and it protects everybody within the house, and it includes all the furniture. And when something is introduced to the house, the animal has to draw back the energy grid into itself, and it experiences very strong confusion. And it has to rework the energy grid in order to accommodate the new thing in the house. But during that time, they feel that the house is unprotected. So since cats are territorial animals, what they do is they leave their scent, and usually in the corners. That protects the house because the scent is stronger than their mental energy to protect it until they can rework that. The way to avoid that is to ask the cat permission to bring another animal or something else in the house. They'll do this if you bring a piece of furniture in the house or if you rearrange the house.
So
what you needed to do, and it's not too late to do it, is to ask the cat for permission to have the dog be a member of the family. And then they can pull back their energy grid to allow the animal to be present in the home.
Okay. Well, they've been together for about 5 years, the cat and the dog.
Yeah.
So do you think that it's still the dog, or could it be that they moved and the dog doesn't, or
no,
the cat doesn't like them move?
It's the dog.
It's the dog?
Mm-hmm. And if you can call me for a consultation, and I will work with the cat and try to get her to stop that, because it is very unhealthy for humans to come in contact with animal waste. And if I explain that to the cat, they usually stop. You can contact me at my website, which is www.petstellthetruth.com, or you can email me directly at talktopets@aol.com. But it'll take us past the scope of the show tonight to work with it. But
okay, well, thank
you
so much. You guys have a good evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
I need to take a moment for to talk about our sponsor. This program is sponsored tonight by Garnett Publishing in Cleveland, Ohio. If your church or organization is looking for a fundraising project, and everybody's looking for fundraisers these days, why not have your members get together and contribute their favorite recipes and publish your organization's own cookbook? Our church did it, and it was a really fun and interesting project. Some ladies even wrote a paragraph about how long the recipe was in their family and the special days of the year that the dish was served as a tradition. I did it myself, and I published all my family's favorite Hungarian recipes. It was quite special, and I must say I was quite delighted by getting everybody's favorite recipes who were members of the church that I had known and loved for years. Garnett Publishing does special publishing for fundraisers. Again, you can visit their website at www.garnettpublishing.com, and you can call them at 216-458-6100. Melissa.
Yes, ma'am.
Tell me about another one of your workshops I read about. Okay, let me find the name of it. Harness the Horsepower Within.
We create those here locally for businesses that come in from all over the United States. One of my most favorite things to do. Someone has a staff or a club, or we've done it for organizations like hospitals for their nursing staff, all kinds of different types. Did it for an architectural firm for all their architects. It is a way for them to get out of the office into a setting that is usually outside the box. And in this case, it's in the ranch arena.
Okay.
I ask the owner of the company or the management, whoever's putting on the day or weekend, to describe their personnel or the people I'll be working with as one entity. So let's say they had 40 different people working for them. I would say, let's give that entity a personality. What would you say? And through whatever the people kind of say, well, gosh, collectively they're passionate but kind of disorganized, they're, you know, whatever it is, we design a special program using the horses usually as live metaphors. In other words, the horses do demonstrations with my work, and we set up a series of games. So they come out and they play these incredible games with the horses and capture the thoughts that for years to come. We get letters and people say, I still remember that day out at the ranch working with those horses, and I broke this habit, or I learned this skill, or I corrected this situation. And so they're really fun and really powerful. And then we do some that are mixed. We just bring anyone that would like to come for a weekend to doing a similar thing. It's just a little more generic than just one company coming in. It starts on Saturday morning, ends on Sunday afternoon, and it's pretty life transformational. They never forget it. We cater in some great cowboy food, too, so really fun.
If someone wanted to find out more about this, how can they find out more?
Absolutely. I can be contacted directly at Melissa, and I do spell my name a little differently. It's M-E-L-I-S-A, just one S, so it's M-E-L-I-S-A at touchedbyahorse.com. And also we set up for your listeners tonight, Agnes, if they want to go to our website, touchedbyahorse.com, We have a free gift. It's a little mini poster that they can print out on their printer and have a beautiful picture of a mare that we call Gratitude and some spiritual writing about the concept of gratitude. Horses love to have gratitude expressed to them, around them, about nature, and through them. So gratitude is a powerful, powerful walk that they have on the earth. And I think most people who are connected to horses have experienced tremendous rushes of gratitude about nature and just the beauty and wonders of nature by being out with horses in their natural settings. So
that would compound whatever feeling you had for the animal with combining with the nature.
Like an amplifier, you know,
yes,
it amplifies it out.
For the moon,
so they can go to our website, they'll see it. It's a free download for them, and they can print it out and use it for whatever purpose they would like. And we're happy to give that to your listeners as a gift.
Oh, that's very nice of you.
Thank you very much.
You mentioned it a little bit earlier, and I meant to ask you about it. You said that there are two CDs. These are ones that you have produced.
Right. They,
and are
I
they
have
available
produced them.
To the public?
Yes, absolutely, and they can be purchased through our .com, or they can call our office and we send them out directly either way. The One to the Future is fun. You go into a relaxed state and you see this horse that joins you on a guided imagery down through a canyon, across a stream, and up to the top of a mountain. And when you get to the top of the mountain, you see your future self. And your future self enters your future home of your dreams. You're doing your life purpose work. You look the way you'd like to look. You feel the way you'd like to feel. All of it. Because as most people know, the more clear we can become about our future, the more likelihood we have of making that become manifest or become our present. So it makes the target of where you're going become clear so that the subconscious can work towards it. And I find, again, that horses are great transmitters of information that way and communication that way. So I have had many experiences where someone's horse will communicate to me that the person is so unhappy with what they're doing with their life, either a relationship with another human that they're in or with their children somehow or with their work. And then they bring all of that tension and sadness and, you know, just... they're just a mess, and they bring it to the horse to go spend time with the horse. The horse works very hard to help them release that in an afternoon, and it is actually why a lot of people have horses. They don't know why, but they feel better after they've been to the barn. So after they've come out to the horse and spent a couple hours with the horse, and they go home kind of with a little horse kiss on the cheek and some smell in their clothes, and they just feel really good, they leave and they say, oh, I just feel so much better about life after I've been with my horse. Well, a lot of it is the horse picks up all that energy and vibration that is so toxic, and they so lovingly help you clear that out and clear that away. Sometimes they're also, in sadness, the receiver of that. They get the person's bad mood put on them or kind of things taken out on them. And that's one thing that we really hope that all the listeners become aware of. They are such empaths, and they don't deserve the frustration from the rest of our life being poured into them in any way. They really need to be respected that way.
It's my experience communicating with horses telepathically that they're very sensitive to separation.
Yes.
And when I see them, and of course I see them with my third eye, and this could be long distance, they always show me who their friends are.
Mm-hmm.
And I describe what the horse looks like and so on. And if they're moved from one place to another, they don't really have neurotic attachments like humans do, but all they want to do is have the opportunity to say goodbye to their friends.
Yes.
Often horses are put in a carrier, and they don't know if they're ever coming back.
You're right.
And it hurts them very deeply. So I can get them in my mind, and, of course, the animal can see what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And I give them the opportunity to say goodbye, the same as I would an animal that was from a shelter.
Mm-hmm.
And once they say goodbye, they wish the horse a happy life,
mm-hmm.
and then they can be fully present in their new home.
True.
It helps tremendously. Is there a number that they can call?
Mm-hmm.
Do you do private consultations?
I do. And I have two different numbers. My local Denver number is 303-440-7125. And then our toll-free number is 866-652-8704. I travel quite a bit, but my assistants are great about setting up the appointments and making that happen for people. I'm actually leaving Wednesday for a big horse expo called the Equine Affair in Ohio. So I will have a booth there at the Equine Affair. So if you're a horse enthusiast and you happen to be in the Ohio area, our booth is called Touched by a Horse, and we'll be at the Equine Affair Wednesday through Sunday of this week.
Okay, tell us again your website.
Touched by a Horse. Came from a show that used to be on television called Touched by an Angel. And I just loved that that thought of being touched by an angel, and I work heavily with angels, so I love that work. And so I named the company Touched by a Horse because they're my angel connection. So touchedbyahorse.com. And they can always reach us through email through that or telephone. All our contact information is on there.
We're running out of time, and I have to make an announcement about next week's show. As we talked about a little earlier, on April 10th, I will not be available to do the show myself because I must attend a civic meeting for my community, which requires my presence in order to vote. I have asked Maureen McCullough, professional and seasoned talk show host on WSAI Radio in Cincinnati, Ohio, and my friend Mary Ellen Angel Scribe to take my place. They will interview Michelle Davis of Serendipity Stables. These nice people own a horse called Sweet Adeline, who lived to be 50 years old and was able to do miracle healings on autistic and physically handicapped children. Sweet Adeline's story is nothing less than miraculous. She was a channel for divine healing to handicapped children, and there is a movie being made about her. You can visit her. The website is called, let's see if I can remember the website. Oh, Sweet Adeline, the movie, and you can see a picture of her and also read about her. If there are any people in the entertainment industry that are listening tonight, definitely listen next week, again, because there is an opportunity for you to be a part of the movie and also a part of the supporters. We need somebody like my all-time favorite, William Shatner, who is a horse lover, mm-hmm. or Robert Redford, or Kevin Costner, somebody that really has a passion for horses mm-hmm. to become involved in this.
Patrick Swayze, too, in case you weren't aware of that.
Oh, Patrick Swayze.
Absolutely.
Yes, another
cutting
one of my favorites.
Horses. You bet. And they are such healers. That would be a beautiful show, and they are such healers. I had horses that were children that were near-drowning victims who never related to their parents at all after near-death drowning. They were really in a vegetative state. And our local children's hospital at my ranch in Arizona would have the parents bring the children out to two of my horses that I had, and the horses, the parents would hold them up. It's so beautiful. And the horse would just breathe breath and exchange scent all over the child's body while their parent is holding them in their arms, and they would smile and make eye contact sometimes for the first time in years. And it was just the most profound work. And just that little moment for a parent to get a genuine smile is worth all the money in the world. So,
oh, yeah.
And so I'm sure that's a lot of that work, and it's very profound.
I once asked a horse, because I've never ridden a horse, what it would be like for me. And he told me it was like a marriage. And I said, please, mm-hmm. please tell me what it's like when a human and a horse connect and ride together. And he showed me the image of a centaur with the sign of Sagittarius, half man, half horse.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, it is like a marriage. You are totally connected, and you become one unit that is stronger than either of the separate units.
You bet.
But we are
out
of
time. And that's why when people start learning to ride, it's not quite that smooth. And so they,
right.
they get more proficient at it. That's what it's like, a learning partnership in the most profound way.
Melissa, it's been a joy to talk to you. As always, I'm so glad that you agreed to be on my show tonight. And I hope that our listening audience really understands what's in your heart and what you've talked about the heart of horses. And come visit us again, okay?
My pleasure, Agnes. I'd be just so happy to. Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Thank you, and good night.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning in to our radio program, and we wish you much peace and joy on your journey.